We have such a beautiful country, and it's on full display at the St. Louis Science Center OmniMax Theater in the film National Parks Adventure. It's all about the national park system. Producer Kelly Moffitt had a chance to talk with one of the featured players in the film, American mountaineer Conrad Anker. He scaled the peaks around the world. He's also known as the man who found the body of climber George Mallory on Anker's first climb of Mount Everest. Kelly asked Anker what his experience had been with the national park system before making the film.
My family's from Central California, Tuolumne County, Big Oak Flat. It's a small place, but we go back five generations to 1853, and we're 20 minutes from the park gate of Yosemite National Park and an hour from Yosemite Valley. So I grew up very close to the parks, so it's always been something that is part of our life. And we would take mules and horses in the high country every summer for 2 weeks and hike around. And as a kid, I would float sticks down the creek and we'd catch trout. So that was my foundation.
And is that when you first got your start in climbing?
My climbing started with my father and a couple of his buddies, and it was going up mountains. And then I sort of ventured onto steeper terrain and using ropes and climbing hardware, and that was at age 14. I'm 53 now, and I think this is all I know how to do.
It's a fascinating thing for so many people that that's your life's work. I think it's amazing. You know, you've climbed in Antarctica, Patagonia, Shark's Fin of Meru, Mount Everest. What would keep you coming back to U.S. national parks when you obviously have, you know, the world at your feet?
I love to climb, and it is my life from a passion and avocation standpoint. And climbing is done on public lands. If I wanted to be a bowler, I would go to a bowling alley and I would pay $4.95 and I'd bowl. But if you want to go climbing or you want to go hiking in the forest, if you want to be an ornithologist, listen to birds, if you want to enjoy sunsets, we do that on public land. And 20% of the United States is public land, which is overseen by the Department of Interior. And part of that is our national park system. So we can see this as the crown jewels of our public property that's shared by everyone. Because I like to climb, whether it's on Denali in Alaska or Yosemite, Mount Rainier, Devil's Tower, all these places, they're public land. So you go there to enjoy them. And it's sort of a way to give something back to the Park Service on the occasion of the centennial.
How does the experience in national parks here compare to, you know, either how other countries treat their environment or treat places you've climbed elsewhere?
Ken Burns, in his excellent documentary about the national park system, has it as America's best idea, and it is. It was 100 years ago that John Muir and Theodore Roosevelt got together, camped out under the stars, and came up with this idea that we need to set aside land that we can all enjoy. And it's our greatest idea, and it's also could be our greatest export. Places like China, Vietnam, Nepal, India, they're now building national parks, realizing that it's a great place to preserve ecosystems for the animals, the flora and fauna that are there. And they're also a place for citizens of the nations and of the world to come and relax and find rejuvenation. And it's also a good driver for tourism. There's an economic benefit to it.
Is there some difference between when you go to a national park as a climber versus, you know, a traditional spectator, someone who's going to partake in the natural wonder? How do you see national parks differently?
As a climber, we focus in on a very specific area. So it's tiny. So you can imagine the handle of a coffee cup, that's a climbing handhold. So we're looking for little features on the cliff that size. So you don't see them until you're right there with them and then you enjoy them. I think as long as people are in the parks and enjoying them, it's a great thing. You don't have to go there and be climbing a mountain, something like that, which is to each their own. As long as you're not harming the landscape, then have a good time.
Can you tell me a little bit about some of the places that you go in the new OmniMax film?
Yes, the National Parks Adventure is an introduction and a way to inspire people to visit the parks. It's not a substitute for getting out there and seeing the parks, but it's a way to showcase them and get out there. And We visit Arches, Canyonland, Zion, Bryce, Devil's Tower, Glacier National Park, Redwood National Park, Katmai, Denali, the Everglades. So there are 409 units, park preserves, national parks, memorials that are in the system. And of that, there's 59 of them are nature parks. So the other ones might be here in St. Louis, the Arch, Ulysses S. Grant's house where he lived. That's another national park. So they're around all across the nation.
I know Missourians are a little bit jealous because we don't have one of those national parks in the state, but it's always nice to be able to go to the different monuments and natural areas here. Do you have any recommendations for people who, you know, maybe haven't been to a national park yet as to where to start or where to travel to?
There's a lot of beauty here, and the river and the wetlands here offer a refuge for birds. So there's probably some state parks that have a beauty and nature that you can enjoy and find those. And maybe there will be a movement to create a national park in Missouri because there is something unique about this state that we just have to find out and get there. But if you are going to visit a national park, go to nps.gov and look around. You can go out to Big Bend in West Texas. You can go out to the Ozarks. There's plenty of places that you're allowed to, not allowed, but encouraged to go. Find a place, and if you are a family and you have a fourth grader, this is your year. Because all fourth graders have free entrance to the national parks in 2016 for the centennial.
Can you tell me a few of your hidden gems across the country?
In the National Parks Adventure, one of the places that was unexpected was Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, which is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I had no idea that anything this beautiful could be there. And so it was just fantastic winter and amazingly beautiful up there. Just these ice climbs that come off over a cliff and they freeze and there's ice caves that are in there. Really beautiful.
Can you tell me a little bit about your climb at Devil's Tower? Because I had the chance to see Devil's Tower this summer and it's such an interesting structure, and seeing climbers up there, I have no idea how you do it.
Well, we're a little bit crazy, but Devil's Tower or Greyhorn Butte or Bear Cave Mountain, as by the Native American names, is a unique mountain. It was formed by an old volcanic plug that crystallized and then sort of solidified, and then all the surrounding rock eroded away, and you have this remnant plug of volcanic rock there. And the cracks are what we climb up. So there's a small fissure in the rock, and we twist our fingers in there and smear our feet and then move up and then move up. And so it's a pretty beautiful place to go climbing. So it's about four rope lengths of climbing to get to the summit, and then you come down. When I was at the Science Center, someone asked me, what's on top of Devil's Tower? And I said, oh, it's a little prairie up there, and there's plants and there's rodents. And he was just like, really? How did the mice get up there? They run up the cracks. They're climbers too. They're just better at it than we are.
What's the difference between, you know, climbing for yourself and when you are climbing for a film? What's that like? I know you were one of the main characters in this year's Meru, and I imagine having a cinematographer next to you would just kind of change the experience.
In the Meru film, we're shooting just sort of documentary style and pick up the camera, take a little shot here. But when we're working with the IMAX film, because we were shooting in film, which has better resolution and richer colors than shooting digitally, it was a different type of experience. The camera is quite big. It's about, the 3D weighs 300 pounds. It takes four people to move it. It's quite heavy. The film comes down to about $1,000 a minute to shoot it. And that's not even production costs. So you have to be on point when the camera is running. But it's like what we're doing here. I mean, when you have a conversation with your friend, you're just having a conversation. But when you're on St. Louis Public Radio, you're speaking clearly and you're on your game. So kind of look at it like that.
Does it cause any slip-ups, you know, when that pressure is high?
Oh, I like that pressure. For me, that's what climbing is. When I'm out there on the edge of the mountain on a cliff, I can't afford to make a mistake. So that's when I focus and I do well. That's my nature. Rather than the pressure making me make a slip up, it makes me perform better. And that's why I like climbing, because I can't make a mistake. I'll break my ankle or I'll get injured. And I've luckily haven't had any mishaps in the time that I've been climbing. Having a big camera and a helicopter above me, it's like, yeah, let's. And then being calm.
Now, I know you're a big advocate about climate change. What have you witnessed, experienced in your climbing and in your time in the national parks?
There's this silly old bazooka gum wrapper joke that I saw years ago. I said, how do mountains hear? It says mountain ears. It's a pun. And we are the ears and the eyes of the mountains. They can't speak, but what we can see change happening up there, we can then share with other people. So Glacier National Park, the glaciers are receding. There's 30 fewer glaciers than there were 100 years ago. They're receding. Same thing in the North Cascades. We see it with animals and their migration, where trees, how they are adapting to a shorter winter and a drier winter. So all these are indications of a changing climate. We know that the Earth has been continually changing, and it will continue to change. But the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere as a result of the industrial age has really spiked that. And so the predictions that were made 30 years ago in the 1980s as to where we are right now, we've exceeded those. So are we better at computer modeling, and what we can see going forward is going to be, it'll be a challenge. And for those of us listening to this radio show, unless you're way in the future and you found it and you dusted it off some archives, it'll be okay. But what's it going to be like 200 years from now? And that's a big challenge, because our generation knows that things are changing. So we can either further ignore the facts, or we can try to work collectively to bring about change.
How do you both advocate for awareness of climate change? And when you advertise for people to go to the national parks, more people are going to go there. There's more chance for destruction. How do you balance those two things?
That's a very good, insightful question. Because, you know, the best thing would be, okay, I'm going to sit on a rock and drink water and eat rice that I've farmed on my own. But we can't do that. We are part of society, and as humans, we consume energy, and everything kind of comes down to energy. How do we work with that? The beauty of the parks is that if you go out and you're in the parks and you're in nature, it's a humbling experience. If it's cold out like it is today, or if it's windy, or if it's humid, you kind of realize that, wow, nature is powerful, but we have to work in concert with it, because that is the basis of our survival and where humans are. That being able to appreciate nature is one of the benefits of getting out into the national parks. And the other way that I look at it is that when people go out into the national parks, it's a healthy activity. They spend time with their families, they exercise, they come back refreshed. It's better than playing Candy Crush on your phone and drinking soda pop. I mean, go outdoors, go do something. So it's a good thing. And the parks, yeah, there's plenty of parks out there, and we'll appreciate them and be mindful of that they are delicate, and try to take only pictures and leave only footprints.
Now, I know as we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the National Park System, the parks themselves are facing an almost $11.5 billion backlog in maintenance. Do you have thoughts about what we can do to continue to be able to fund the parks?
Good question. Part of the money that goes into the parks is from the visitation fees. And so some parks like Yellowstone or Yosemite or the Everglades, where there's a lot of visitors, do well with that. But there's other parks like the National Mall in Washington, D.C., which is a national park, but there's no fee that goes into it. So if the parks are something you care about, write a letter to your elected official and say, please keep parks in the budget. It's a good thing. We enjoy visiting them and help out with it. So it's a challenge. Here we are. It's 2016. It's an election year. The president put forth his budget and has to be approved by Congress. So hopefully we'll find some balance in it. But it's difficult. Communications-wise, it's not healthy right now. I wish that we could get everyone to go out on a hike. you know, rather than being angry and being mean. There's a lot of that mean-spiritedness is kind of, I mean, don't want to go into what's happening, but we all know what's there, and it's just not polite. And I think when you go outdoors and you get to see a prairie dog chirping or a Kodiak bear fishing, two of the scenes that are in the National Parks Adventure IMAX movie, you're like, wow, that's cute. Something that makes me happy.
Can you describe one of the more exciting climbing adventures you've had in one of the national parks?
Oh, I've had some good adventures. One time I was in Alaska in 1989, and we got trapped by a seven-day storm. And we just sat in our portal edge, which is a cliff tent that lives, that you hang on the side of the cliff. And so for 7 days, we couldn't go up or down, and we had to ration food, and the wind was like whistling on the outside of the tent. And then we came down. We'd lost a few pounds of weight, but it was good adventure. So I grew up on a literary diet of Jack London. I mean, it's fictional, but he was such a great, he evoked such images of being outdoors and trying and challenging and building character, all those things.
It's funny that you say that because I grew up on a literary diet of John Krakauer, who I know you've climbed with.
Yeah, John's a great guy. He's a great author.
Now, are all climbing experiences that you've had always that dramatic? Is there always some drama?
No, you try to avoid drama. You want to go out and have fun and enjoy it. But you can go to a climbing gym and have a good workout there, but you can also get out to the less equipment you have, the greater the challenges will be.
What recommendations do you have for someone who would like to start climbing?
If you're here in St. Louis, there's a climbing gym or two. Check in there. There's a good community. You'll learn the movement and belaying, and then you can take that outdoors. But it's a great sport in that sense because you're active and then you rest. You're active and then you rest. It involves flexibility, strength. It increases bone density. There's mental acuity that's involved because you have to think about the route. So it's a really neat way to exercise.
Producer Kelly Moffitt with American mountaineer Conrad Anker, featured in the St. Louis Science Center Omnimax Theater in the IMAX National Parks Adventure film. It will be showing through Labor Day. That's all from us for today. Thank you for listening. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU.